Hello, my friends! Welcome to another episode of EE Journal's long-running electronic engineering podcast called Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. Yes, my friends, today we have a virtual Sunday of electronic engineering goodness. We've got a scoop of autonomous driving, a scoop of IIoT, a little Infineon secret sauce, and a whole lot of sprinkles. Because what good is a Sunday without sprinkles? Am I right? So, a little later on, Bill Stewart from Infineon is joining me to talk about trusted electronics, automotive safety, and autonomous driving. But first, it's time for a little news you may have missed. Now, as you may or may not know, I am the news editor here at EE Journal, and that means I read a whole lot of press releases every day. And when I saw a press release about Element 14's IoT design challenge with Infineon technology, I thought, hey, that would fit in nicely into today's show. I should ring up Phil over at Element 14 and see if he'll talk about it. And guess what? He said yes. All right. So let's bring in Phil Hutchinson from Element 14 with this week's news you may have missed. Hi, Phil. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hey, Amelia. Nice to have you.
Thank you. All right. So we're talking about Element 14's IoT design challenge with Infineon technology today. But first, can you set the stage for us, Phil? What were the motivations behind the creation of this contest? And this design challenge centers around enhancing industrial designs through IoT applications, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. One of the things with industry at the moment getting smarter and the advances in industrial IoT is a lot of people and companies and engineers are wanting technology spread across large warehouses, large sites in remote areas, even hidden in trash cans across cities. So this design challenge is featured around one of the biggest hurdles in any of those design applications, which is low power IoT. How do you get all of the information regularly updated from whatever your application is off to the cloud and remain charged or running on solar? And this challenge is challenging people to do that with the PSOC 6 family.
Excellent. Now, Phil, can you give me some details about this challenge? And does this challenge include a blog component like the other Element 14 design challenges?
Absolutely. Yes. With the Element 14 design challenges, they're run over the course of about 11 weeks for building. The people that apply to be sponsored challenges will be sent a PSOC 6.2 plus Air OC Pioneer kit free of charge. The challenges that we accept get the kit and they can build and blog 5 times on the Element 14 community, showing what they're building with videos, talking with the community about their experience, asking the community members for help. Our design challenges are not like a lot of build challenges you get in the engineering world where it's very secretive and the last project wins and the best person gets the job. With our challenges, we want people to collaborate. We want people to help each other out. We want people to talk through problems and share their use of the Modus Toolbox, which is the core component as well as the PSOC 6 in this challenge to achieve low power applications.
Excellent. Now, speaking of applications, what kind of applications do you see coming out of a design challenge like this one?
Using the PSOC 6 S2, we're expecting lots of low power applications, such as long range factory automation sensor hubs. So leave it out in the factory and everybody that passes it can be scanned in. It can monitor little robots running around for you. It can monitor a predictive maintenance situation for large machinery. Maybe you don't want to plug it in. Maybe there isn't any power there. Maybe it's running off diesel. Well, the low power application of some sort of predictive maintenance unit on top of a device could save a company millions of pounds, millions of dollars over the course of however long. And this could be air quality monitoring, any sort of monitoring that you can do as long as it is remote, it is low power, Even, as I said earlier, checking to see if the trash can's full. Save the garbage guys going around the city all day, every day. Why not create a system which will check to see if this garbage bin needs emptying, and it will just send a ping off, and that'll be it. Saving people time, saving money, and making the whole system way more efficient. Obviously using the PSOC 6 from Infineon and the Modus toolkit that they have with the setup.
So, Phil, what if my audience enters and then wins? What would they get as a prize?
Oh, well, we tend to make some fun prizes with these challenges. This one is nice and simple. It's just been the new Apple announcement. So we're going to go for the iPad Pro 11-inch Wi-Fi for the grand prize. Included is a solar-powered charger. So if you take your application that you've designed and you actually want to roll it out yourself, we're including a full solar setup to be included with it. And the runner-up gets an Apple iPad mini, the 64 gigabyte version, as well as the same solar-powered setup so that you can roll your own application out. Now, the one thing that is different with how we run our challenges is if anybody uses the PSOC S2, uses Modus Toolbox, and completes the 5-block minimum, we will also be sending them, irregardless of who they are, a Multicomp digital multimeter free of charge as well as a prize. So anybody, even winners, as long as they do what we class as kind of the bare minimum, will get a digital multimeter free of charge as well.
That's fantastic. I love that. All right, Phil, it's time for your off-the-cuff question now.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, that's right. You haven't had my COVID special, I don't believe. So we've all been on some level of lockdown, it seems like, forever lately. So, Phil, if you could have one meal right now, it doesn't matter if it's on the other side of the world and you need a passport, it's from a restaurant that's closed, or heck, it's on the other side of England, what would you have?
Oh, well, I will say one thing. We have been, my partner and I, we've been working throughout all of lockdown to grow chili peppers in our garden. And it's the running joke of I've spent hundreds of dollars, I've spent months of my time to grow a 10 cents vegetable in my own garden. I just want them to fruit so that I can actually cook a chili with my own chilies. But you know, it's slow progress. We're getting there. That's what I would wish from the end of COVID. I just want to see the end of the project.
Right. We all want to see the end of a project. I completely understand. Well, that was fantastic. Thank you so much for joining me yet again, Phil.
It's been great to speak to you again. Thank you very much. And yeah, if anybody wants to check out this design challenge, it's element14.com/low-power IoT.
All right, it's time to bring in Bill Stewart from Infineon. Bill and I are talking about functional safety, trusted electronics, and the rise of autonomous vehicle technology. Let's go. Hi, Bill. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Amelia. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Okay, so we're talking about trusted electronics, functional safety, and the automotive industry today. But Bill, can you tell me about what it will take for autonomous vehicle technology to become widespread from your place at Infineon, which is a leader in the automotive industry for many years now?
So the building blocks for autonomous technology are in a lot of cars today. Most cars on the road have cameras, they have radars. Automatic emergency braking is becoming a standard feature on vehicles here in the US. And what we need to do is to have systems that customers trust, that consumers rely on. One of the things that's especially important is that, you know, when you go to change lanes, or, you know, your car doesn't just brake automatically because it detects a phantom object. So as we have cars that are doing more highway autopilot type functions, to the point where you're not going to have to pay attention and drive, you want to feel comfortable in the vehicle, right? If the consumer feels that they're not safer in an autonomous vehicle, ultimately, you know, they're not going to want to ride in that car. That has to be done by having trustworthy and dependable electronics and software. The entire system has to operate better than a human driver, right? And that's really the goal we have to get to. We at Infineon are really looking at how we can offer dependable electronics to our customers as a way to enable them building those systems. One path forward, you know, is to have functional safety as a key component, having security, having high quality components. Those are all things that fundamentally will allow our customers to build the right type of modules and systems to allow customers to trust their vehicles.
That makes sense. Now, Bill, let's talk about trusted electronics. What do you think that really means?
So as I mentioned before, there's three components, right? One is security. You have to have vehicles that can't be hacked. You can't be worried about that. You can't be worried about having rogue software be downloaded into your vehicle. You have to have high quality. You can't have failures. And ultimately, functional safety is the third component, which essentially is, does the vehicle do what you intend it to? And what type of failure modes could you have? The way we break it down is there's different types of systems that go into vehicles. You have fail-safe approaches, which are used for lower levels of ADAS systems. So that's what's in most vehicles today. And that's where if you have some sort of a failure, the vehicle enters a safe state, but may no longer function, right? Think of your power steering module. You don't want to have a failure where all of a sudden your steering system puts you into the wrong lane. You would rather have a steering system fail, but keep you in the same lane. The next level up is fail operational. And that's really used for mid-levels of vehicles, the highway autopilot type functions, urban autopilot type functions. And that's where if a failure occurs, the system will continue to function. You may have a limited functionality for a short period of time, but ultimately you can get over to the side of the road. You can come to a safe state. You're not going to endanger any of the passengers in the vehicle. In order to truly achieve high level four, level five, fully autonomous vehicles, that's where you also need high availability systems. Not only do the vehicles operate in the case of failure, but they have to do so for a very long period of time. And this could be a security threat. It could be a quality failure. It could be something just goes rogue, you know, in software. Ultimately, in order to make consumers truly trust their vehicles, that high availability system where you have fail operational plus all the other ingredients are what's needed.
Okay, Bill. So when it comes to functional safety, what does it really mean for electronics to have functional safety as a feature?
So functional safety is a pretty broad term. And ultimately what it means is, does the device do what you're intending? Does it, in the event that it doesn't do what you intend, again, let's go back to that steering system for an example. What are the potential things that could go wrong in a steering system? And you have to go through and think through all of those different failure modes. What we try to do at a component level is say, what are the mechanisms we can put in place if a failure occurs? A sensor somewhere gets wrong data, something physically breaks, you know, you lose power, a wire gets cut, things like that. And basically go through and look at how can we prevent those? How can we operate for a period of time? Or how can we ensure that in the event of a failure, it fails safely, it fails quietly, or continues to operate? That's a very complex, tough task. You think about all the things that could go wrong in a car. They're very complex machines, right? We're talking about hundreds of electronics modules. We're talking about millions of lines of software. The potential for something to go wrong is exponential. What we try to do is really make it easy for the customers to be able to identify those threats. We've pre-analyzed the systems that our components go into and look at how our devices can help prevent those failures from occurring.
That makes sense. Now, Bill, would you like to add anything else to what we're saying today?
The only thing I'd like to add is that, you know, the technology exists to make autonomous vehicles exist, right? And, you know, what's really hard is going to be achieving the last 5 or 10% of the innovation required and use cases required to make them function correctly. What we really see is the path will be a foundation built on dependable electronics with high security, functionally safe devices, and high quality to make that happen.
Excellent. All right, Bill, it is time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, since we're in quarantine, at least for a while longer, here's your COVID special off-the-cuff. So, Bill, a lot of us haven't been able to get our favorite foods these days, whether it's lockdown or the restaurants closed. So, If you could have one thing right now, it doesn't matter if you need a passport to get there, the restaurant is closed, it's on the other part of your state, what would you have?
Well, I probably wouldn't be good working for a Bavarian company if I didn't say I didn't want to go to a beer garden in Munich.
That sounds wonderful to me, certainly. Excellent. Well, Bill, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Don't forget to check out my brand new maker-themed monthly Fish Fry podcast series called Makers Today. Launched last month in honor of Women in Engineering Day on June 23rd, this first episode features maker, teacher, content creator for Element 14's Learning Circuit, and power racing record holder, Karen Corbeil. We talk about the maker movement today, the cool stuff she likes to design, and more. And next week in this new series, I welcome Lorraine Underwood, the author of Save the World with Code. And hey, if you're a maker and you'd like to be featured on this series, please let me know. You can send me an email at amelia@eejournal.com, send me a message on LinkedIn, or even Carrier Pigeon. Whatever works best for you. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, sure, I dig it. You can follow me or us on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by me. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts. And remember, if you'd like to further support this podcast, please leave me a review on that podcasting platform of your choice. And 5 stars, please. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, or heck, you just want to chat, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of July 16th, 2021, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.